we didn't discuss the scientific registry for transplant recipients, which is where all the data from every transplant center is stored and analyzed. And actually there are, you could go online and pull up any transplant center, and you would see the expected outcome for each organ, what statistically they believe the transplant center, what their outcome measures should be, and then they have the actual outcome from the transplant center, and they do a statistical analysis to find out if the transplant center is performing within the expected guidelines. This is done for both graft survival, which is the solid organ survival, and also for patient survival at a one-year and a five-year timeline. And so what happens is that transplant centers, their feet are put to the fire, and their data is right out there for the public to basically shop for a quality transplant center in their own region. And actually, that's what people do. Steve Jobs, as you're aware, he actually bought a house in the state where he received his transplant because he knew that he would get that transplant perhaps faster than he would have gotten in his own state. And so this is how people use the data, these quality outcome measures. And my understanding is that if you fall below your expected outcome measure statistically in a statistically significant manner, that triggers an inspection at your facility. And again, I don't want to say that perhaps we can reach a happy medium between these state regulations and the federal regulations as part of the work group. I believe that if the standards referred more to the OPTN and CMS standards, and particularly these quality measures, I think it would both relieve the transplant center of the burden of the state regulation and also increase the confidence of the commission and the people who have spoke with the future of Michigan transplant programs.
Commissioner Kishishian, you talked about the extensive reporting that the transplant centers have to do. Is there any independent audit, and how extensive is the independent audit of the information that the transplant centers submit to these organizations?
I believe Dr. Punch could speak better to that. I'm not sure how that works, but I definitely my boss, he actually worked for the SRTR for many years. He could explain for you how that works, and so I can get that answer to you directly, or do I answer the commission once I get an answer to your question? Or
you can submit an answer to the commission.
Commissioner Kishishian, I have a lot of experience with self-reported quality information from institutions in the state and in the country, and it's very suspect if you do not have an independent audit. There's many organizations are making many decisions based on self-reported information, and it really does need to be audited if people are going to be making decisions about where they're going to get transplants done.
Commissioner Goldman, you just mentioned in your testimony the burden of state regulation, if I heard you correctly. Can you talk for a minute about what you see the burden of state regulation is on these programs, on heart, lung, liver programs?
Well, this is sort of a philosophical question here. We just believe that additional regulations that are duplicative, they create bureaucratic work for the transplant centers. And so that reflects not only potentially in additional costs that are added to the transplants themselves, but on our end at Gift of Life Michigan, there may be additional costs that are referenced in our charge for recovering the organs, or perhaps for using the hospital to recover where we recover our organs. And so we have an interest, I believe, as citizens and as a business here in Michigan, to keep these costs down. And so the question is, at what point does reporting your numbers to the SRTR and reporting your numbers to the CON every year, they definitely aren't the same numbers. The numbers don't match. And so what exactly is going on there, and why do we have different rules for a state reporting agency and different rules for a federal reporting? These things need to be sort of fleshed out. We need to look at them fully so that we can come up with good, solid regulations that can be moved farther, you know, farther forward, because of course transplantation has changed significantly in the past 20 years, but definitely in the past 5 years since CMS has now put their toe in the water and they have these additional regulations. I believe that at this point it would be a different discussion in the SAC than we had 3 years ago.
So if I, just to make sure I'm understanding, you're suggesting that CMS requires each program to report certain data, that UNOS requires each program to report certain data, that C of N in Michigan requires each program to report certain data, and that those data points are different?
My understanding is last time I saw the CON data on the programs and how many transplants occurred in those programs over the last year, those numbers were different than what you could pull up at the OPTN or UNOS website or at the SRTR, which is the same data.
Right, but I guess what I'm asking you is if the state says how many transplants did you do last year and CMS says how many transplants did you do last year and a program says to CMS 12 and to the state 10, that's not the state's problem. That's the reporter's problem. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I agree with you that if CMS says, I want you to report data points A, B, C, and the state says, and we want you to report data points D, E, and F, you can say, I wonder what the value of those additional data points are. But if it's the same data point and there's inconsistent reporting, then we go back to Commissioner Shishin's comment about not our problem, somebody else's problem for being a bad reporter. I don't see why. I'm not grasping why that adds to regulatory burden. In this day of computers, if I ask you to report to five different places and all you have to do is push one button and the same data goes to five different places on an email, I don't get why that's an increased regulatory burden.
Well, I just know when we did the pancreas crosswalk 3 years ago that we did find significant reporting differences between them and that may result in additional costs.
I understand, but my question is that a quality report? Is that a quality problem? Is that a reporting problem? Or is that a regulatory problem?
And that's definitely something we need to look into and discover.
Okay, thank you.
This is Commissioner Kishishian. You mentioned pancreas. Are you aware of any discrepancies in heart, liver, and lung?
Discrepancies in reporting?
Yes.
I've not looked at the data this year. I know that it is self-reported from hospitals through their whoever does their reporting to the Certificate of Need, to the Department of Community Health. It's the Hospital Bed Surveyor. I forget what it's called.
Annual survey.
So I can't say off the top of my head for at this moment whether or not there's discrepancies exist in the heart, lung, liver. I was aware that there were program directors when we did the pancreas review 3 years ago who were very concerned about the discrepancy between the reporting numbers.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Got two more cards on this issue from Henry Ford, Karen Kippen.
Morning, and first of all, I'd like to congratulate Scott and Talika on their new positions. I was very happy to hear that this morning, so congratulations. Thank you for letting me take the time to testify on behalf of Henry Ford Health System. I know that a lot of the points that I was going to make have already been covered by others. Let me talk about one point, the discrepancies in the data. As I was going through and looking at the data, even as of this morning on the STRS website, the CON annual survey is an annual survey, so that looks at a January through December time period. The STRS website goes from July through June, and there were a few discrepancies, but the numbers were what I felt was explainable between the differences in the time period. So I didn't look specifically at pancreas. I only looked at liver because I, too, am going to invoke Dr. Abajud's name here. He gave me the same information that he had talked to. I heard Dr. Sandler's testimony about the 20% of patients that die while they're on the waiting list, and so I went to the website to verify what he said, and actually it's 19%. And so if you look at, he's pretty good, if you look at, according to OPTN, this is just for livers, 349 patients in Michigan were on a waiting list for a liver transplant, and in 2010, according to MIDB, there were 179 liver transplants performed in Michigan, and the median wait time was somewhere between 6 months and a year for approximately 50% of those patients. That tells me that it's not availability of it's the availability of the organs, not the places to have a transplant, that's impacting that 20% of people who die on that waiting list. The department had cited rationale that financial and staffing requirements dictate concentrations to relatively few providers. Without continued regulations, we will have new programs just as we have in the past several years, and these come at extremely high cost to initiate and continue operations. And just as a side note, Dr. Abajud asked me to bring up the fact that as new programs come into Michigan, that lowers the volume for all of the existing programs. And some of the payers have a bar that say you have to meet a specific volume level before the payers will send you transplants. Lower volumes across all of the programs may indicate that more patients from Michigan will be moving out into the outside of Michigan, to Mayo, to Wisconsin, to Cleveland Clinic. And lastly, I'd like to say that in 2009, the Heart, Liver, Lung, SAC made specific and what I believe were thoughtful recommendations, and those were put into effect less than 20 months ago. And so I don't see any need to reopen or deregulate the Heart, Liver, Lung services at this time. Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Apparently not. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
One more card on this issue. Patrick O'Donovan for Beaumont.
Good morning. With regard to transplant services in general, we applaud the department for recommending that transplant services be deregulated by the CON program. The governor has recognized the cost to business, providers, and patients of unnecessary regulations. With cost pressures on hospitals, there will not be a proliferation of transplant programs. Only hospitals that have enough patients to justify transplant programs will develop them. The goals of healthcare reform are to improve quality while reducing the total cost of care through such mechanisms as patient-centered medical homes and accountable care organizations. CON should be reserved for services such as hospital beds and imaging that can have a significant impact on cost, quality, or access to the citizens of the state. Transplant services do not meet these criteria. We even support the deregulation of liver transplantation, even though we recently initiated a program. As you know, the liver transplant programs have a statewide cap of 3. If there had been 3 programs when we had applied, we would not have qualified, even though we knew we had a sufficient base of patients to sustain a program. Last year, and again, it's a fairly new program, we performed 16 transplants, and the patients have benefited greatly because of this new program. But again, if there had already been 3, regardless of the qualifications, then that would not have been an option. So we urge the CON Commission to adopt the department's recommendations to remove transplant services from CON, especially when the cost impact is minimal and quality is monitored through professional organizations with the expertise to do so, which is the case for transplant services. This shows that the Commission is responsive and in tune with the goals and practices of value-based health care. Thank you.
Questions for Patrick? Thank you.
Thank you.
You did put in a card, Mr. McCafferty. Hang on a second. I may have miscategorized.
And I just was wondering if Dennis was all right when I didn't see him up there. You know, I was concerned whether.
You're there.
I did want to just.
Yeah.
Right.
As Dennis is here under transplants. So.
Possibly my card was a little too generic. Dennis McCafferty from the Economic Alliance for Michigan. It would be difficult for me to say something original based on what I've heard already this morning. Our members feel that deregulations of transplant standards have far-reaching implications. The limiting factors has been well discussed here are the number of organs and the number of medical professionals who are trained and devoted to doing transplants. Increasing the number of places in which these services are provided is not going to change those two limiting factors. I wanted to come up with an interesting punchline here following Dr. Punch's remarks, but I failed to do so. Of all the things the CON regulates, we think that the transplants are probably the most valuable ones, and we would recommend that any consideration of deregulation first go through a very extensive review. At a minimum, a work group. We probably would like to see a SAC involving subject matter experts. But I would certainly want to echo the comments made by Dr. Punch and some of my other colleagues who were opposed to the deregulation.
Questions for Mr. McCafferty? Let you off easy this time, Dennis. Sorry for missing your card. I apologize. Now I think that's the last card on the issue. Comments, discussion amongst the commissioners?
Commissioner Hughes, I hate regulations. I hate mandates and all that kind of stuff, and it's usually bad for everybody. But this is, I believe that it's not being limited by the amount of places to do this type of procedure. It is a shortage of the organs, and this is what CON is here for, to make difficult decisions about competition versus access versus overbuilding. And based on what I've heard so far, I think it's best to keep things as is, and I would support a motion to do that. Unless the rest of the commissioners feel that a SAC is necessary, then I would support that.
Thank you. Other comments? Mr. Sandler.
I don't wish to comment on the motion. I just wish to ask a question. Pancreas was discussed. Do you want that separate because it's a different line item? Are there more cards?
Okay, that's a separate. That'll be separate.
Okay, thank you. That's right. Problem.
Sure.
Mark? This is Commissioner Kishishin. I just want to echo Commissioner Hughes' comments. I think everybody hates regulation, but this is so important. You know, the department says quality and volume matters, and we do not have an access problem in this state. People have to report the data to CON Commission. I haven't heard the three centers complaining that they have difficulty or it's a time-consuming effort to report the data. They're reporting data for many other procedures that has to go to CON. I really think that, again, unless the other commissioners believe we need a SAC, department's very busy, and that perhaps we just go on and say the standards are working for the citizens of this state, and we move on to 2015 when they come back up for review again.
Can Commissioner Goldman, I just, in response to the last two comments, want to say that I personally love regulation and put my daughter through college.
You're a lawyer.
There's a reason I love regulation. But the question that was sort of raised today that I love more input about, and I don't think we can get it today, is whether there are some inconsistencies between the state regulation and CMS and UNOS regulation. To the extent that there would be a way to harmonize that, that might be interesting. I don't know that that takes anything like a work group or a SAC. It might just take the department making a recommendation to us about, I don't know if they're technical changes, but they're really not substantive changes to our regulations. If, for example, there are some things that we require reporting about that are already covered, maybe we could change that to say you can report that by sending us a copy of your UNOS report or something. I don't know. But that would take care of the duplicative question. Other than that, I think I agree that what we've heard is the issue is not the burdensomeness of the regulation. The issue is the availability of organs, and that an extension of programs would do things according to what we've heard from the speakers, like potentially lower quality, potentially shift patients, potentially make it more difficult to train the next generation if there's not a sufficient volume at the centers that are training the next generation of surgeons. None of that seems to me has to do with burdensome regulations. It has to do with other issues.
Since we'll be voting on this, I want to go back to the recusal issue. Recusing ourselves. We discussed this briefly before the meeting, but everyone in the room should be aware of this. If I wish to vote against this and said I want deregulation, that means my institution would, in theory, get more competition. I don't think anybody would call that a conflict of interest, however. If I wanted to vote for this proposal, that might mean my institution would get less or would have the status quo. Therefore, I'm having a little difficulty wanting to vote on this proposal.
Two things. One, there's not a motion.
Pardon me?
One, there's not a motion.
I thought he made a motion.
No, we had this discussion.
Did you make a motion?
No.
It wasn't seconded, did I hear?
No.
If you
I'll second.
Did you make a motion?
But this is Brenda. What was the motion?
Said, yeah.
Okay, I thought that was. I heard
no,
the
let's
motion.
Get over that first technical hurdle. Okay, this is fallacy. I believe Mr. Hughes said he would support a motion, so let's move one and see if it gets seconded.
Okay.
Then we can get Mr. Pochin's comments.
Fine.
And on your other question.
Okay. Oh, I apologize. I heard the word motion.
Right. Okay. Would either Commissioner Hughes or Commissioner Kashishian like to make a motion regarding what your last comments were?
Motion to keep the standards as is.
Okay.
Second, and if you don't mind, a friendly amendment to review them in 2015 at the time of the next SEC.
Yes.
If after I hear what you have to say, I do have a comment I want to wish to make.
Okay. According to your bylaws, it said when consideration has already commenced, when a conflict or potential conflict of interest becomes apparent to the member, it appears to me that a potential conflict has become apparent to you.
That is correct.
Well, then I would suggest recusal.
Thank you. I knew we were employing you for some reason.
You don't want to know that. Okay. All right. Comments? Discussion?
Yes, I have further discussion, however. I would like to see.
You can't.
Okay.
If you've declared a conflict.
Not on the actual motion. Not on the substance of the motion.
No.
Okay.
I think it's best.
This would have been nothing to do with the substance of the motion.
We can cover that later.
Yeah, I realize I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Goldman.
So, Commissioner Goldman, As I understand the motion, it is to continue the current standards and to next review them in 2015. If that motion passes, that would mean that the programs that are in place would continue to be in place and no new programs would be able to be created in the state. Since the University of Michigan has programs, I think I am in the same position as Henry Ford Hospital and Commissioner Sandler, which would mean that I would also have to declare a conflict in that even though this is a statewide issue, it would appear, it would have the appearance of a conflict. Is that, do you agree with that, Jeff?
The words of it say potential.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only go by the words of this.
Well, then I think I have a potential conflict, and so I would recuse myself from further discussion or voting on this matter.
At which point everybody in the audience can count just as well as we can, which means when we call for the motion, the most votes it can get is 5. Even lawyers can count. Moses came down from the mountain with 2 tablets. Those were the 10 Commandments. Then he came down with 2,000 tablets. Those were the regulations that lawyers have lived on for years. But I think we still need to call the question,
correct?
Even though it won't have a necessary quorum. Correct. Okay. All right. Any other discussion from those that are still able to discuss?
I guess no matter what way it goes, I really like Ed's comments about if it does go that way, maybe trying to streamline recommendations from them on how to put the federal and ours together.
Very good point. Very good point. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All those in favor of the motion on the table in front of us, please raise your hand. So we have 5. 2 abstaining, Commissioners Sandler and Goldman. So there's no quorum to carry the motion forward, which I think means status quo. I'm getting a nod from, we can bring it up at the next meeting if we so choose. Right. But for right now, status quo. Commissioner Kashishian.
This is Commissioner Kashishian, and I'm not sure if this needs to be in a form of a motion, but I do like what Ed suggested, that we ask for a comparison between the federal and the state standards, and that would be presented at the next commission meeting for interest's sake. Does that need?
I don't think that
just a request. To be
that's fine. I don't think that needs a motion, Commissioner Kashishian. I agree with you and Commissioner Hughes and Commissioner Goldman. That's a very good idea. We should ask the department. Great. Okay, that's it for that agenda item. The next agenda item is a separate